Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the people of Iman with the name Al-Muntaqim. Al-Muntaqim. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muntaqim comes from the root word Naqama and also Intaqama. Intaqama generally would mean to avenge. And Naqama in the Arabic language means to punish. So that is the meaning of Al-Muntaqim. After listening to the dars given in many sessions explaining the meaning of At-Tawwab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very quick to forgive and Allah accepts your tawbah. And so in case if someone becomes very complacent in his life, thinking that Allah is Tawwab all the time, He forgives, and so let me rebel now and then whenever I want, and then I will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do tawbah and Allah will forgive me. Let me do guna again and Allah will forgive me, because Allah is a tawwab. And so immediately after this beautiful name of Allah, a tawwab, Allah explains and puts another attribute, which is al-muntaqim, after a tawwab. That I am there to forgive your sins, no doubt. But I am also Al-Muntaqim. Don't challenge me. Don't challenge me. Because I can punish you. And so Al-Muntaqim means the avenger. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish anyone from His creation. And that punishment is given to him first in this dunya, before the big event which is in the hereafter. So the first punishment is given to him in this dunya. And there are many, many examples like that. For an example, the Quran says, فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. We punished the people of Fir'aun. Allah had given respite to Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun for a long duration, for many, many years, hoping that they will take heed from a great Nabi who comes to them, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. But they didn't. They took advantage. They thought that, khair, we have the power, we have the kingdom, we have the army, and I am the most elite. Allah says, وَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ. And we drowned every single one of them. We drowned every single one of them. Why? Because they rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish anyone in this dunya. That is why even today, One of the signs of Islam is, Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. That Allah has saved the body of Pharaoh, the body of Fir'aun, to actually witness the power and the kudrat of Allah, so that everybody can see him. And this is the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam. That the water did not accept him and the earth did not accept him. And Allah is saying that I will protect your body, bibadanika, your badan will be made mahfuz. Liman takuna khalfaka aya. So that it becomes a sign for those who come thereafter. And so even today, if somebody wants to go and see, you can actually see the body of Fir'aun. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that a sign, a symbol. So we should also be very, very careful how we live. Sometimes when we are addicted to sins, watching pornography all the time, listening to music, having a girlfriend, doing zina now and then, stealing, taking drugs, speaking against your parents, making a mockery out of your deen, disrespecting the Islamic values that you have, swearing, there's a lot of things. And so nobody is so powerful that as if he feels that I am invincible, that nothing can happen to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give a person time. But if it becomes something which is habitual with him, and he thinks nothing is happening, and then one day when something happens, it all comes down. And so before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Before that, we have to take extra care. Why? Because Allah has given us that karamat, that honor of iman. We are the carriers of iman. Because we have iman, we have this extraordinary responsibility. Those that don't have iman, for them what is it? It is for them is this dunya. Let them enjoy this dunya. How much are they going to enjoy this dunya? Let them enjoy this dunya. Dunya comes to the end. It will end. But for those who have iman, Allah wants to give them Jannah. But before giving them Jannah, a bit of exercise, a bit of discipline. That is why during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, a man was caught stealing, a robber. So when he came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, of course the fear of qisas, that the hands will be chopped, and so to amputate the hands, qisas, nobody steals in the Islamic Empire. MashaAllah, everything is there. You don't need no security alarms. This fear is there that if you get caught, then there is severe punishment. So he came to Hazrat Umar and he said, Hazrat, this was my first time. This was my first time. Please forgive me. This was my first time. Now who is he talking to? Hazrat Umar. Man of great knowledge, a man of great wisdom. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and looked at him and he said, it is impossible that this is your first time. Because generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives respite to a person, always gives deal, a lot of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never punishes a person immediately at the first crime. Never. Why? Because Allah is At-Tawwab, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Kareem. It is not the sunnah of Allah that you have never done this at all and today you have done it and today you get caught. Not at all. So Hazrat Umar said, okay, if it is your first time, let me make an inquiry and see into the matter that you speak of. And then he looked at Hazrat Umar and he said, no Hazrat, this is not my first time. I've done it many times before. Why? Because Allah Pak is At-Tawwab, Allah is Al-Afu, Allah forgives, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ, Allah forgives so many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers? In the hadith of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes that Allah created mercy, rahmat, in 100 parts. How many parts? 100 parts. And Allah has kept 99 parts for the hereafter. And that one part of rahmat, mercy, is distributed in dunya. And every form of mercy that you see comes out from that one part. Whereby an animal is showing mercy to another animal. A human being is showing mercy to another human being. Any kind of comfort, love, compassion, anything that you see, it is all coming out from that one mercy, one pot of mercy. 99 parts Allah Pakht has kept in the hereafter. That is how merciful Allah Pakht is. In the hadith it comes that Allah has kept 99 parts of mercy, especially for those who have iman. Especially for those who have iman. That is why, my respected brothers, we should have this balance of, subhanallah, fear, but at the same time, we should be also very anxious. We should also understand the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. And inshallah, we have the best opportunity and the best chance, inshallah, to succeed. Why? Because we are the carriers of iman. Allah keep it that way, ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. In the hadith it comes that when the gates of Jannat will be closed and the gates of Jahannam will be closed. Everything. People designated for Jannah will be in Jannah. Allah give us Jannah, bole ameen. And those for Jahannam, Allah save us from Jahannam, bole ameen. They will be in Jahannam and the gates will be closed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, where are everybody in the right location? And the angels will say, Allah Pak, we have taken an account of everybody. We have taken an account of everybody. Everyone has been accounted for. That is why an article of faith is to believe in the hereafter. A person cannot believe in God Almighty or Allah if he does not believe in the hereafter. How can he say, I believe in the hereafter, but I don't believe in God Almighty? Or I believe in God Almighty and I don't believe in the hereafter. If you believe in Allah, you have to believe in the hereafter. And this article of faith is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us all the time in Surah Fatiha. Maliki yawmiddin. Maliki yawmiddin. Read this. Maliki yawmiddin. Allah is the master of the day of judgment. Allah, it Malik comes from the Arabic word milk. Where does it come from? Milk. Milkiyat. Ownership. Ownership. That is why the complete kingdom only belongs to Allah. Allah is that king that everything belongs to him. Everything that belongs, he is the real Malik. Malik, the master of the day of judgment. And yet it is, Yawmiddin is actually Yawmul Hisab. Yawmul Hisab means the day of Hisab, accounting. And so it's an article of faith. All the time remember that one day we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now even the malaika will not know. Even the anbiya will not know. Anbiya will be in Jannah. Everyone are in their own places designated. Jannah wale Jannat mein. Ashabul yameen. Fi ashabil yameen. Ashabul shimal. Ashabul shimal. The people of Jannah in Jannah, the people of Jahannam in Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that it is written on my arsh, inna rahmati ghazabat ala ghazabi, that my mercy is ahead of my anger. My mercy is ahead of my anger. Inna rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. My rahmat is ahead of my anger. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say then, and this is the knowledge of Allah Pak. How in the Quran Allah says, wa asirru qawlakum awijharu bih. Whether you reveal something, whether you don't reveal anything, whether you speak softly, silently, or you speak in a loud manner, Allah has the full knowledge. Wa asirru qawlakum awijharu bih. Innahu alimun bidhati sudur. Allah knows what is in your heart. And then out of His infinite mercy, now these words of the hadith, we need to understand that Allah Pak is not like a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are certain ahadith that speak and describe Allah in this way, so that we understand. So that we understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scoop one hand or two hands from Jahannam. It will be the scoop of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, scooping out like that. One hand or two hands. Muhaddiseen say, here we don't talk about the hands of Allah Pak. But Allah knows that there are certain people in Jahannam. And these people will be taken out of Jahannam. And they will be taken out and they will be put in the middle, where there is no Jannah, where Jannah is on one side, Jahannam is on one side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that my mercy is such that I will also forgive these people. And these are the people in the world, they only believed in Allah and the messengers. And for the entire life they did not do any good deed. But they believed in Allah, that there is one creator, but one creator. And they believed in the messengers, that yes, Ibrahim, Nabi of Allah, Moses, Musa, Isa, wa Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu. That is why when you are giving invitation and da'wat to a non-Muslim, the Quran teaches you the first part. Explain to them Tawheed. What is it? Oneness of Allah. If even the oneness of Allah comes in them, this is something very big. Oneness of Allah is very big. If somebody says there is only one God, Allah, does not associate partners, ascribe partners to Allah, this is ni'mah. And then the second step is for him to convince him that these are great prophets, chain of Anbiya that have come, this trail of Anbiya, they are all messengers. And even thereafter, if this person, you know, we say, naam ka musalman hai. Sometimes what do we say? What do we say? Naam ka Muslim by name. Though that is not good at all. Allah save us. Who wants to go to Jahannam even for a few seconds? Allah save us. Allah save us from Jahannam. But then, subhanallah, at the end, that is also of benefits. For him to believe in one Allah and Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. So they will be taken out and Anbiya and the Malaika will then enter them into Jannah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah Pak at the same time is saying, I am also al-muntaqim. I am al-muntaqim. I can punish anybody anytime. So strike the right balance in living in this dunya. Understand. This is what Allah Pak is telling every one of us. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادِ. Have you people not seen قَوْمِ عَادِ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. Iram is one tribe of that قَوْمِ عَادِ. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah Himself is saying that قَوْمِ عَادِ, this community, the people were so strong, physically, so powerful people, that Allah says, I have never created anyone like Qawmi Aad. Can you imagine if Allah Pak is saying, no one is created like the people of Aad. How strong physically these people must be. Irama Dhatil Imad, Allah says these, Dhatil Imad means, they were like pillars. Men of pillars. What were they? Pillars. Long, long, tall pillars. Allah, very physically strong people. Allah destroyed them by winds, strong, violent winds. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. Hud alayhi salam came to them, they made a mockery out of this great Nabi, Hud alayhi salam. They made a mockery. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Allah says, like Aad, another very powerful community was Thamud. They carved from rocks their dwellings where they were living. Even today you go in the Arabian Peninsula, you can actually see remnants of their strength and how they were living in the mountains. Powerful people, no technology, no machinery. Allah says everything was done by hands. Physically powerful people. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. Fir'aun, الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. And Allah says they caused fasad, mischief. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed every single one of them. Why? Making a mockery out of the messengers, Anbiya alayhimus salam, and the deen, the religion that was given to them. But Allah does not punish anyone immediately. Banu Israel have a history of generations. History of generation, Anbiya coming to them. Allahu Akbar. If you look at the Arabian Peninsula, the birth of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was during Amul Fil. Extraordinary event that took place in Arabia. The governor of Abyssinia, Abraha, in Arabia, did not like the Arabs, and that they were facing towards that building that was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so what he thought, if I could build and construct another place of worship which is decorated with gold and silver, then all the Arabs, instead of going to Mecca, they will come towards the zone of Yemen and they will take this place as the place of Tawaf. So this is what he did. He built this place of worship. A lot of money was spent. It is said that the queen of Saba, Bilqis, the treasures of the queen of Saba was used to actually construct that building. But it was very difficult. The Arabs were not prepared to turn their face in that direction. They had this affinity with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and their Qibla was Baytullah Sharif. And so it says that one Arab man came and he desecrated the place of worship. Maybe he did istinja or peshab or whatever. And Abraha got to find out, and he took an oath that because of this I will demolish Baytullah Sharif that is situated in Makkah Mukarramah. Now the Abyssinians, they had trained animals and elephants to attack, and they had these huge elephants, African elephants, and this huge army came towards the Haram and entered the zone of Makkah Mukarramah. Abdul Muttalib was informed. Now he had 200 camels that were grazing in the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. So some of the people of Abraha took the opportunity to steal his camels. They said, chalo, muft mein camels. Took it. And one young man came running and said to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib was a very noble man. Abdul Muttalib is a very noble. He is the grandfather to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Abraha said, it is fine, if the leaders want to speak to me, I can speak to them. So their leader was Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib said, I want to speak to Abraha. And so he came, a meeting was set. And so Abraha said, right, Abdul Muttalib, you look a very honorable individual, a man of great respect, I've heard of you. What is it that you want from me? And he saw this huge army that was there. So Abdul Muttalib said, look, I'm not interested in anything. I just want my 200 camels. I'm not interested in anything. I just want my 200. Abraha was gobsmacked. You are a leader and your concern is of your camels. I thought you were a man of honor. And what about Baytullah? And he said something very ajeeb. Abdul Muttalib said, Inni ana Rabbul Ibil. I am the master of my camels. وَإِنَّ لِلْبَيْتِ رَبًّا سَيَمْنَعُهُ. And the house that you see in front, there is also someone who is the lord of that house. I am the master of my camels, and this house has got another lord, and that lord will take care of you. That lord will take care of you. My interest is my camels, because they are my responsibility. And he really thought that Abdul Muttalib was insane. He said, give it to him. All the camels were given to him. Abdul Muttalib's grandfather was an intelligent man. He went there and evacuated all the zone of Makkah Mukarramah. And he said to the people, go and take refuge up in the mountains. All men, women, children got up to the mountains. And only a handful. Now how brave Abdul Muttalib was also. He came down and he touched the ghilaf, the curtains of Kaaba, and he started making dua, and he read a poetry. And he said that, Bari Ta'ala, every man will want to protect his house. Every man will want to protect his house. And this house has your name on it. It is Baytullah, and you are the only one that can protect it. And saying this very short statement, he also left and he moved. And then there was a man they captured whose name was Nujayf Ghaliban. Something Nujayf, for that matter. He was from Abdul Muttalib's tribe. So Nujayf actually whispered in the ears of Abraha, the elephant upon which Abraha was sitting. And no offense, but Abraha had named his elephant Mahmud. What was his name? Mahmud. Abraha's elephant's name was Mahmud. So Nujayf went and whispered in the ears of Mahmud and said, Mahmud, you are the main elephant here, and if I was you, I would return back to Yemen, because it is Allah who is going to protect the house. It is said that the elephant immediately sat down. And it did not stand. People were throwing stones at it with the sword, gave it pain, and it would not stand. Until someone took the tail and pushed it in another direction towards Yemen. And when it faced the direction of Yemen, you know where Rukne Yamani is. When it faced towards Yemen, the elephant stood up. And it started marching. And it is said that this Mahmud elephant is the one that was saved. Allahu Akbar. And they came to destroy, and Allah punishes people. Allah has His own army. Allah has His own army, by Allahu Akbar. And the birds came, small birds. One stone in the mouth where the beak is, and two other stones. Subhanallah. And it is said the elephants were decimated. The elephants were decimated. The army was completely destroyed. It was in that year that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And this was a sign to show people that, like how you have witnessed this, you will witness something else which is even greater. A great Nabi will come, and you have seen this, that when you fight with Haqq, this is what is going to happen. Somebody will come in amongst you, and he will present Haqq to you, and you have to accept him. That was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And respected brothers, we have got two individuals in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should also understand these two individuals who were the main enemies to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One is Abu Lahab and one is Abu Jahl. We have to understand who these two people are. Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl. Abu Lahab is the uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Huzur alayhi salam's father, Abdullah. Abdullah's brother is Abu Lahab. Abdullah's brother is Abu Lahab. How? Same father, Abdul Muttalib. Mother is different. Same father, Abdul Muttalib, but mother is different. But if I'm not mistaken, the mother of Abbas and Abu Lahab is the same. The mother of Abbas and Abu Lahab is the same and the same father. So he is the uncle. And Abu Jahl, he is the cousin to the father of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Lahab is mentioned in the Quran by name and also his wife. Not by name, but the wife's zikr is there, Umme Jameel. Perhaps his name is mentioned because he was a man who would openly want to disrespect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, openly, had no remorse whatsoever. And subhanallah, he had two sons, Utbah and Utaybah. Utbah and Utaybah in the beginning were married to the daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But then when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made alan that you worship only one God, one Allah, and it went against their gods, so he forced Utbah and Utaybah, his children, that give pain to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and give them an immediate divorce. And this is what they did. They gave talaq to the daughters of Huzur alayhi salam. Now remember that this was just a form of nikah, but no rukhsati, no consummation of marriage. This was right in the beginning. And then from Abu Lahab, who had seven children, only three accepted Islam. How many? Three accepted. Utbah, Mutab, and there was another, Dura, there was a daughter. Only three individuals had embraced Islam. Abu Lahab, his real name was Abdul Uzza. But they called him Abu Lahab because of the reddish complexion, very red face. And some have said they call him Abu Lahab because of his fiery temper. A man who would get angry very, very quickly. And Abu Jahl, his name was Amr ibn Hisham. And remember, Huzur alayhi salam made dua that, Ya Allah, from the two Umars, give one Umar hidayat. Give Amr ibn Hisham or Amr ibn al-Khattab hidayat. And Allah chose Umar ibn al-Khattab. And his name was Amr ibn Hisham, and they would call him Abu al-Hakam. Abul, the father of justice. The father of justice. When Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam saw his character, Huzur alayhi salam gave him a name that he is not Abu al-Hakam, he is Abu Jahl. He is Abu, the father of Jahil, the father of ignorance. That he is a Jahil. He is a Jahil, he is not Hakam, Abu Jahl. And from the children of Abu Jahl, only two embraced Islam, Ikrima and Juwayriya. How many? Ikrima and Juwayriya. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, these two, Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, gave a lot of trouble to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How did Abu Lahab die? Allah punished them in this dunya. Just to quickly conclude, 1 week after the battle of Badr, a lady, Ummul Fadl, she hit with a wooden pole on the head of Abu Lahab, and Abu Lahab fell down, and there was a wound that became infectious. And then from there it is said that rotten boils had covered the entire body, which gave out a foul smell. And his body was smelling in such a way that even the wife and the children had abandoned him, and he would stay alone in his house, in his residence. Until one day some people found out that Abu Lahab is now dead. Even then his own children did not come to give him a burial, or the wife. They paid money to some Bedouin, and the Bedouins came and they pushed the body with sticks and kicked it, and that is how they got rid of this body of Abu Lahab. And this was the end of this man, that the Quran says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Imagine, killed by who? By one blow that came from a woman, Ummul Fazl. And then Abu Jahl, who was supposed to be very powerful, in the battle of Badr, two young boys attacked him. And coincidentally, both of their names are Mu'adh. They were Ansari boys. Mu'adh and Mu'adh. And they attacked Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl came down. A man of great takabbur, this man was Abu Jahl. It is said that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a thin man, very skinny individual. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when Abu Jahl was down on the ground, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud got on his chest. So Abu Jahl opened his eyes and Abu Jahl said, "Do you know on whom you are sitting? Do you know on whom you are sitting? Mas'ud, you sit on me. Who are you?" And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud took a knife out and wanted to cut the head of Abu Jahl. So he said, "When you cut my throat, can you cut it from the lower section? So when the heads are put, my head stands high." My head stands high. Takabbur. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud cut the head out, got the head and put it in front of Huzur alayhi salam. "Abu Jahl, ya Rasulullah." Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam said, "Praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has defeated the enemies." And then Huzur alayhi salam said, "Abu Jahl has given me so much trouble and he is the Fir'aun of my ummah." Abu Jahl was the Fir'aun of my ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. My respected brothers, always maintain a very good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by tawbah, sincerity and good a'mal. And I was reading a kitab, ghaliban this incident happened in Pakistan. There was this neurosurgeon, very famous doctor, and he had his own hospital, and a case, emergency case came, and the nurses that were there said to this doctor that, you know, "We've got somebody that has had an accident, and quickly, you know, there's some severe blows to the head, so if you can operate on him." So, you know, in many parts, even in the Muslim world, so they said that, "No, we can't, but first a payment has to be done. A payment has to be given, private hospital." So the nurses said that, "You want a payment, but this is an emergency, you know, they came to us, can't you assist?" Doctor said, no, "If you start doing this, then everybody will come. If you start doing this, everybody will come." So he didn't operate. And that person passed away. That person passed away. And then the doctor actually was passing by to see, when the nurses said that this person has passed away. So he went inside to see who it was. It was his own son that passed away. Sometimes Allah can punish a person in this dunya. Allah does not need an army to come. Allah can punish a person. When someone does not respect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish somebody in different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And he started crying. "I didn't know it was my son. It was an accident. They carried him to this hospital." And the own father, who was a specialist surgeon, a neurosurgeon, refused to operate. And the son died. Imagine the guilt that the father will have until death. So Allah is Al-Muntaqim, the avenger. Allah can punish anybody. If Allah is a Tawwab, Allah is also Al-Muntaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from His anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon all of us. InshaAllah, just for a few minutes, if you can close your eyes. And mashaAllah, think of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purify your heart. And think that the heart is saying and taking the name of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا